I was speaking to someone about the whole Garth thing, though, and it was great, bless her. I don't know if she knew what she's a journalist, so she has that sort of edge. So I know that Gaza's, I know that Hamas have sort of sent some bombs, you know, into Israel. You know, I know they've attacked Israel, but don't you think Israel's overreacting a little bit? I thought, how can you overreact to someone bombing your city? And it's like, it's that thing.
Bombs between
it's that thing. It's
like, what they're saying is, it's because the Palestinians, because the rockets are not very good and are not killing people. If they, you know, if they were better, of course they want to kill them, and they sent them out to kill people. The fact that they're not is like God's
grace. So if they managed to kill 20 Israelis, then Israel can kill 20 Arabs.
That would be all right. Exactly. But the intention is there to kill civilians, isn't it?
We'll use our artillery to fire into Israel. And then when they respond, we'll park our artillery in built-up areas.
And it's not that we are to celebrate every death. No, nothing. And it's actually, if you look at on YouTube, they've posted a lot of the videos, and a lot of what they're bombing are not people. They are aiming for weapon storage. Through no fault of Israel, it is a big challenge and a problem that some of the biggest, you know, rocket launchers that are destroying Israeli planes are in mosques, which are still in use.
Or underneath as well.
I tell you, I was watching the news. It was Al Jazeera, and there was this a doctor from Gaza crying and saying about how fearful his children were and how bad the firing was for him, Israel. And he was really, really beside himself, you know. And then all of a sudden there's this woman, and she said, "But what fired out of your home? What were you having firing out of your home? They would not have fired on you if you didn't fire something out of your home." And he totally changed, and he sat back as if he had not even been distraught, and he said, "She's telling lies. She doesn't know the truth. She doesn't know the truth." Mm. But way he was, and then after her saying that, the difference in that man, and I thought, this is just for the camera.
Absolutely.
It was literally for the media.
There must be many people in Gaza who can't say it, but they know the
Hamas situation. That woman did. She could have been taken away. In fact, somebody did grab her. Somebody did grab hold of her. Mm. But she did say.
And they were going around the streets of Gaza. Once the reporters were allowed in, which has only been recently, they were interviewing people on the street and saying, "Well, the result of this, did it make you support Hamas more or less?" And they didn't want to answer. They were just they're almost too scared to answer.
They've got tunnels right underneath schools and hospitals as well.
Yeah. And that's not Israel's fault. And
the Taliban do exactly the same thing in Afghanistan. And last year there was over 2,000 civilians died last year due to the Taliban coming into villages, firing at coalition forces, and then the coalition forces responding and hitting the villages.
It's the same thing.
Same amount of
death
as well. But we don't hear about it.
Do you think Obama has sufficient clout now to be the peacemaker in the Middle East?
I mean, his statements on Israel have been, I mean, the Israeli government's been quite pleased with what he said. I mean, before the conflict, I mean, he said that Israel had a right to defend itself against missiles coming out of Gaza, and he said that no country should have to tolerate missiles coming in onto its territory.
Put the money where his mouth is. I mean, aid.
He's obviously got to deal with a huge problem there, and at the moment, the ceasefire deal was that Israel would withdraw and that Hamas would not rearm.
Yeah.
I mean, the Jewish Chronicle today says that the tunnels are opening and that the Egyptians are already, you know, missiles are going through the tunnels. So Egypt is
allowing it.
Yeah. Well, and the Egyptians are the Egyptians are turning a blind eye.
Yeah.
It's also interesting it said why, because the Bedouin are the main ones who are doing this. It's not actually Al-Qaeda or Hamas. It's the Bedouin who do it for money. I mean, it's a deal. They don't just smuggle weapons. I mean, they smuggle hashish and cigarettes.
Why aren't the United Nations there, then?
Well, this is it. This is what Israel wants. I mean, Israel wants some kind of force to stop that from happening. The Egyptians have said no, they won't have any troops on their border.
Do you think there's something significant about having an international force in Israel?
Yeah, there is.
For sure. I mean, not biblically.
I mean, there can't really be. I mean, basically, Israel cannot have a lasting peace without some kind of outside mediation force which is going to stop it. Now, I mean, the Jewish Chronicle actually, which I didn't know until I read the Jewish Chronicle, so why the Egyptians turn a blind eye. Because the Bedouin make money from these tunnels. It's the only way to make money in that part of the world, which is a pretty godforsaken part of the world, you might say. And the Egyptians are pushing the tourist trade on the other side of the Red Sea. And according to information which was there, that the terrorist attacks on the tourist sites were not Al-Qaeda, they were Bedouin, when the last time that Egypt tried to interfere with the tunnels in Gaza. So basically they sent a signal saying that if you mess with us, with these tunnels in Gaza, we're going to mess with you on the...
So why that's not common knowledge about the Bedouin, though, is it?
So that's another issue which...
So is Mammon coming centre stage of that particular thing?
Western tourists going to sun themselves on the beaches of the Red Sea.
Is the bed? Is this like a third group? Is it completely unrelated? Because I don't know if anyone.
Bedouin are just Arabs who traditionally wandered through the desert. They didn't have a settled home. They lived in tents.
Arabs, in a sense, or travellers.
They're not like wandering through the desert with his tents. But I mean, that's their way of life.
Yeah.
They've actually been messed up by borders and modern controls and so on, so they don't really particularly like that, because they used to just wander from Egypt to Jordan, all through that place. Now they've got international borders and stuff there, so that makes it difficult for them.
So Israel is now
the possibility now is that if Hamas gets more weapons in, including even superior weapons which can reach Tel Aviv, then basically, I mean, that's another formula for the next war.
The thing is with this like current ceasefire is there's two different terms. Like, Israel called a ceasefire based on the terms that Hamas wouldn't fire rockets, and then Hamas announced a ceasefire based on the complete withdrawal of Israeli troops. So I don't think there is like a... So there isn't actually a proper agreement yet, is there?
No, and there never will be.
And Hamas always talks about... I mean, when they say ceasefire, they mean a period of calm. I think the word, I can't remember what the word in Arabic was, but it means period of calm, begins with a T. But it basically means we're not going to hit you, but we're not making peace with you. We're just sort of having a lull in the proceedings so we can rearm and get ready.
Hamas, when they got rid of Fatah there, some of the things they did to them, throw them off buildings.
So Hamas were, and what, Fatah, another government.
More moderate.
Did they
capture them, or what was going on there?
They're the ones that murdered all the Israelis in the Olympics, you know.
Fatah's the old PLO, basically. But it's sort of morphed a bit into the...
It's become Sinn Féin.
The idea that they can live alongside Israel rather than... replace Israel. I mean, the Palestine Liberation Organization was formed in 1964 when the West Bank, Gaza, Sinai, Golan Heights were all Arab. So they wanted to liberate Palestine, which meant Israel. Now, in 1993, with the Oslo Accords, Arafat made this deal which would lead the way to a Palestinian state being formed alongside Israel. It was questionable whether he really intended to go along with it, because when he was criticized by his own side, he said that this is the 10 points phase, this is the phase policy we all agreed to. Now, the phase policy was made in 1974, which said that the Arabs were not going to defeat Israel as long as Israel had control of Golan Heights, West Bank, Sinai, etc. So that they should make a deal which would cause Israel to give up that territory in return for land for peace, basically. So once they'd given up the land, then they could then go back on the peace bit, make war and destroy Israel. You've got a number of statements which actually say that quite clearly, that that was the intention.
So the plan was always, because of the policy, meaning that Israel could exist, but by these particular things that obviously the Arab country didn't want, the only way that they agreed they would be able to get hold of what they wanted was to cause chaos and to make them have to give up land for peace,
politically, the difference between Fatah and Hamas is that Hamas didn't buy that. They said, well, let's just get rid of Israel. whereas Fatah said, no, we'll do it in stages.
And also the other basic difference, really, one basic difference, is that Hamas are jihadist Islamists, whereas Fatah were a little bit more Marxist political. They would utilise Islam you know, within it, but they were more political, weren't they?
I mean, having said that, I would say that there are obviously Palestinians who would be happy just to have their own state and live alongside Israel.
Absolutely.
So it's not all of them. And there are fatter politicians who would probably agree to that now.
Yeah.
But there's still an element there. And, I mean, when Israel agreed to the Oslo Accords, the Palestinian Authority committed itself to stop terrorism and stop incitement to terrorism. Now, they haven't done that at all because the education system in the Palestinian areas has consistently denied Israel's right to exist and has taught Arabs that they have a right to the land from the from the river to the sea, which means the whole of what is now Israel as well as the Palestinian Authority area. So there's been a indoctrination of the youth in both the West Bank and Gaza with...
Saffron.